Welcome. Welcome. We are continuing in our series this morning, More and Better. It's our series through the month of February as our senior pastor, Randy, is taking the month off here. He went on vacation with the family. He's back in town, but he's getting some stuff done around the house and even doing some stuff in his office during the week. Just pray for it to be a great time of rest and recuperation. He was here at the first service this morning, but you don't feel like, oh man, do I got to come to the first service to see him? He sneaks in and out so fast, you wouldn't get to see him anyway. All right, he'd just be out of there. But he was in here worshiping with us, and keep praying for a great time there. The rest of us, we are going to continue in our series, so get those outlines out of your program. If we ran out of programs, which I heard might have been a thing this week, because also Megan, the office administrator, she was also on vacation this last week, so my superior and my subordinate were both away, and that means we ran out of programs, because I don't know what I'm doing, guys. No. But we're good. You can use the YouVersion app. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app, and we've got the outline there, just in case you didn't get a program. You want to take notes as we go. Well, our More and Better series. The reason for this series is to keep us focused on our mission as a church. It isn't just the responsibility of the leaders of the church to be laser focused on the mission God's given us. It's for the whole church. Everybody, we're all a part of it. And so we've been going through the different steps of our mission. Our mission is to make more and better followers of Jesus in our community and beyond so that God is glorified. That's what we believe God has called this church, Stony Creek Church, to do. There's lots of other things involved with that. You know, we enjoy getting together and fellowship and, you know, I love having a great place for my kids to have friends, from good godly families. But none of that's really the mission in and of itself. The real mission is that we're leading people to know Jesus and that we're building each other up in our relationship with Jesus. We're making more and better followers of Christ. And this isn't just from ourselves. It is our mission. What we believe God has led this particular church to, but it isn't just for this church. This is really based, it's rooted in the marching orders Jesus gave his entire church. We see it in the Great Commission, and we'll look at it here together. This is Jesus speaking after his resurrection. He said to his church, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And so each week we're looking at one of what we call our 4C process, one of the steps of making more and better followers. And it's all rooted from this Great Commission. You see the four words when you walk in the church on Sunday because it's there on the balcony. Come, connect. Get them in order, Chris. You're teaching on them. Come, connect, commit, and coach. Ooh, this is a help to me right here. All right. And so the first week, Ken was actually up here speaking. He talked about coming to Christ. He shared our most urgent message, which is the gospel, that Jesus is Lord. That means God, that he died on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins that separated us from God our Father. And he arose from the dead. He beat death for everyone who would trust in him. And coming to Christ, initially, the first time we come to Christ is when we place our trust in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We say, "I am surrendering my life to you, Jesus." But then Ken taught, very thankful for it. If you missed that message, you can check it out on our podcast. He taught and he noted that in Scripture, we see how we are called to continue to come to Christ in following him. We resurrender to him every day, at least we ought to. That's how we come to Christ every day, and we follow him, and we serve him, and we go after where he's going. And then last week, we talked about connecting with Christian living. We called this what we need most to grow. All right, this is how we get the vital nutrients that raise healthy Christians. Comes with, includes Bible study and prayer. We talked about that. It includes some important celebrations that God gave his people. Of course, the Sunday services, we're here worshiping our resurrected Savior. And also Jesus gave us two celebrations. He gave us baptism and he gave us communion, which were very important at communicating the gospel and keeping that message at the center of our Christ community together. And we had some baptisms and took communion together. We didn't just talk about it, we did it while we were there. Well, now this week we're talking about this third step in the process, commit to Christ's body, or we sum it up here, commit to church. The church is Christ's body. As we'll see here, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:16. He said, "From Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Now in March, we're going to get back to our bodybuilding series. We kicked it off in January, and then we've got this mini-series in the middle of that, and we're going back to it. Randy will be up here, and that's all through the letter of Ephesians. Today, I'm not calling it spoilers, because that sounds like I'm stealing Randy's thunder, but today we're going to look at some passages in Ephesians, and I call it a trailer for the series that's coming up next month, all right? So it's good. It's like a teaser trailer for what we're going to get even more in depth with in the coming weeks. But we see here in this passage that the church is Jesus' body, and that we are joined together by each other. We are these different supporting ligaments and body parts, and our connection to Christ's body comes through us being committed and connected with one another, and we grow as we build each other up, doing what God calls us to do and equips us to do. And so that's what we're going to look at here today, is how we become one of these committed body members of the body, of Christ's body. And you say, well, that sounds a lot like connection. Didn't we just talk about connection? You even said connection a couple times in describing it. Well, connection's involved, but when we say commit to Christ's body, it's a step further. See, connection is when you plug into church and start receiving what you need to grow. But committing is saying, now I'm going to be what other people need to grow. You're saying, I'm going to be part of serving and meeting with the body and building in to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, you still receive all the benefit of connection. We never move away from any of these steps. We take them with us, all right? Just like we don't quit coming to Christ, like, oh, been there, done that. No, we keep coming to Christ. We keep connecting with Christian living, of course. We don't walk away from Bible study and prayer. But now we are contributing toward the benefit of others. So it is really a step beyond. It all boils down to the main idea. What we're going to look at today will unpack this main idea. You want to write it down. If you don't write down anything else, this is the one I encourage you to write down for sure. And it's this: commitment to Jesus includes committing to his church. Commitment to Jesus includes committing to his church. If you've made a commitment to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, committing to a church is part of that. It's part of the package deal. We're going to see that. I might say package deal more times than I need to say it this morning, because I did it the last service. I thought, man, that was definitely the buzzwords that I decided to use. Now, for some people, this can be a difficult step in the discipleship process. I see that people, they come to Christ, they're excited, they get connected with Christian living, they love being in a small group and studying the Bible and praying. But this next step where you're telling them to really commit to a church, to set down roots, to say, hey, you can count on me, and I'm going to serve here, I'm going to give of myself and my time and my talents and my treasures, people can be more hesitant now at this step. And there's lots of different reasons. Some of the reasons people might be hesitant is because they've had a bad experience in their past. Maybe they have been committed to a church before, and that was taken advantage of, you know, by the church, maybe even by a church leader. They just felt like, yeah, I mean, they were so demanding, and they really took advantage of me. And if I disagreed with them, I was made to feel ostracized from the place or something, rather than trying to work it out with me. And so this bad experience has left them shy about making this commitment again. I can understand that. I can understand that. For others, we want our independence. You know, we don't want to be committed to anything. And I can relate to this, even though I am committed here and a member and everything. I can relate to this in general in life, because I don't want to be committed to an internet provider or a cell phone plan. I mean, you know, it used to be you know, brand commitment was really big. It was almost an American value that you stay committed to the brand, you know. But nowadays, hey, if this cell company is going to offer me 3 cents of a savings next month, I'm switching. I'm dumping them like that. Now, I say that's okay with a cell phone provider or a cable internet plan or something like that. But when it comes to church, it's different. Things are much different. But there's other reasons people struggle with this. For one, pastors don't teach about it a lot. We do teach about commitment here at Stony a lot. But at some churches, maybe because they're afraid, you know, oh, if we talk about commitment, people are going to leave our church. You know, that's possible. But a lot of Christian leaders just don't like teaching about membership and commitment at church because they focus maybe more on the better part of making more and better followers. But we really want to get people plugged in and committed because we believe it's essential to becoming a better follower of Christ. And then lastly, I think some people, we just have a disdain for the church. Even among Christians, there's Christians that like to bash the church, even Christian leaders that will bash the church. And I think sometimes it's in the name of evangelism and reaching common ground with unbelievers. Like, oh, you hate the church? Yeah, church stinks, man. I hate the church too. I just love Jesus. And I don't know, we think we sound cool or something when we're saying that, or we're reaching common ground. But it's sad because it really undermines the priority of Christ's body in our lives and the priority of being committed to her when we're saying, yeah, we don't even really like the church, you know. Now, I'm hoping, since I happen to see your faces here this morning, that you probably don't fall into that last category, but I had to mention it. Well, what we're going to look at today with the time that we have, we're going to clear some of these different obstacles for church commitment out of the way by looking at four biblical reasons to be committed to the church, to Christ's body. And often I talk about practical reasons. We had a membership introduction last service. You'll get to see a picture of them who came in later today. And oftentimes at membership introductions, I'll give some practical reasons for membership, like every team needs a roster. You know, this is the people that are on the membership here at Stony are on a list of people that can be counted on. These are family members that can be counted on. Or I'll give a personal reason, like, you know, I've been a member since 1998 here at the church, and I can't even describe the wealth of benefit that relationship has had in my life. You know, I've been poured into and discipled, you know, that's 24 years, that's my math, right? Yeah, for 24 years. And boy, am I a different person now than I was 24 years ago. And my relationship with you guys, with the church, has been a huge part. Like we read in that passage, each member does its part to build each other up. And so it's Christ at work, it's the Holy Spirit at work, it's also you guys at work in my life. So those are some personal reasons, but what we want to look at, and I did sneak them in there, did you catch that? My personal and practical reasons were snuck in there. But now let's move on to the biblical reasons. That's even more important than my experience. Let's look at the biblical reasons for being committed to the church. And the first one you want to write down is that Jesus is committed to you. Jesus is committed to you, to us, to his church, to believers everywhere. The letter of Ephesians in the New Testament, it's all about church life, what church life looks like among God's people. And there's this tender passage in chapter 5 we're going to look at. It explains the relationship between a husband and a wife and what that ought to look like. But then Paul says this is actually a picture of what the relationship between Jesus and his church looks like. That's actually the point that Paul ends up getting to. That's the part we're going to read. And so we see here, starting in verse 25, that the Apostle Paul writes, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And so even this passage recognizes the church has problems. We have problems. We have blemishes and wrinkles. We need to be saved. We need to be made holy. We need to be cleansed. We need stain remover and de-wrinkling. The church needs all of these things, but this passage reveals Jesus' commitment to do that, to work with us. He is fully committed to us. He was committed to us when he died for us on the cross so that we could enter into this family in the first place. And he's committed all along the way to continue to work generation after generation with his bride, with his body, to make us better, to make us more like who he wants us to be. He's committed to us for eternity. Now, my wife, Leah, she doesn't need very much stain remover or de-wrinkling. In my opinion, she's just great, all right? She's not in the room at the moment, so I'm not just sucking up, but if she asks, you tell her I said that. All right. Well, she doesn't need this, but I know she's not perfect, and neither am I, you know? But if somebody ever came up to me and they said, Chris, you're a cool guy, I like you, but Leah, I just can't stand that lady. I'm sorry, but, you know, we can hang out. We can go out and get coffee or something. Just don't bring your wife with you, all right? I have big problems with her. Well, if you've got big problems with her, you've got big problems with me. You do, because I love Leah. I know she's not perfect, but I love her, and I'm committed to her. And we're a package deal, she and I. And so if you did have a problem, let's say she offended you in some way, and she was just wrong. She did something wrong. I mean, like I said, she's not perfect. Well, I'd want to work with you and her to get reconciled because I love my wife and I want you to love my wife. And so if there's something standing between you guys, hey, let me help you guys get together and work it out. Because otherwise, if you want me, you got to accept Leah. She comes with me. We're bonded. Jesus and his church are a package deal. He died to usher us into the family. Wanting Jesus without wanting Jesus' family is not what Jesus wants. And so being committed to Christ includes being committed to the church, his body. He's working in us. Maybe you've got a little disdain or a little beef with somebody in the church. Maybe something in a past experience, maybe right here at Stony. I want to encourage you. You know, the church can be hard to love sometimes. Okay, I don't need to list examples. You already know examples of how the church can be hard to love sometimes. But would you spend time in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to enable you to maybe forgive that person that mistreated you, that person who took advantage of their relationship with you, and to give you strength to go and deal with that person? Would you pray for that? Because when you do that, you're showing love to the church the way Jesus shows love to you and the way he shows love and commitment to his church. Let's talk about the second biblical reason to be committed to Christ's church, and that is it's necessary for our growth. You want to write down growth. Now, a lot of times when I talk about church commitment or church membership, I'll use the expression, we're better together. And that's true, but it's really more than that. We're not just better together. Our togetherness as a church is essential. It's really an essential part of our growing in our relationship with Christ. We read Ephesians 4:16 earlier. That was the first passage we read. I want to back up in that a little bit and watch what Paul writes here to this church. It's a big one, so just brace yourself. I'll read it to you. I forgot to put in the yellow print, so you're off the hook this morning with the reading along. Just listen, let it soak in. And so Paul writes, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here or there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined and held together. And that's the passage we read, as each supporting ligament does its work. Some will say, I like Jesus, I just don't like man-made organized religion. you know, I've gotten that before. I've talked to neighbors and things like this in the past. I like Jesus, no problem with Jesus, but man-made organized religion. And I agree with him. I like Jesus too. You know, I love him. He's my Lord and my Savior and my very best friend. I worship him. But part of worshiping Jesus is recognizing that he is the one that organized the church. The church, at least when we're doing it right, the church is not a man-made organized religion. It's a Jesus-made and organized body of people, right? It says it right in here. It says he established his church. He organized it with his leaders who lead his congregations. This isn't man-made. He's bringing us along. He's bringing mankind along. And that's why we've got these imperfections, but it's Jesus made. It's Jesus organized. And the reason for it all, when we read this passage here, is for growth, that we may be built up, that we may become mature and attain what he calls the fullness of Christ, so that we won't be spiritual babies susceptible to corruption or evil persuasion. There's so much bad information out there, and bad, you know, just the culture is very counter-Christian, and it would be easy to be swallowed up by it if we weren't plugged in and into a committed body where we're challenging one another and growing up together and even evaluating the world around us together. It's essential to be healthy and strong and growing in Christ, to be committed to his body. According to Jesus, the church is organized under godly leaders and necessary for growth. And that's what we do here at the local church. We're organized under godly leaders, our elders and pastors and other leaders around the church in each ministry. And it's all designed so that we can all be equipped to go out and serve, not just those leaders and pastors and teachers, but all of us doing it together. We need each other for that. Paul writes elsewhere to the Corinthians, he wrote, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you." Think of, I know this is kind of gross, sorry, but I'm doing it anyway. But if I were just to just chop off my arm right here and it just fell on the ground, two big things would happen. Well, a lot of things would happen. You'd run out of here and think I was a crazy person, but get past that for a second. First of all, this body part would just shrivel up. I mean, it's cut off from the body. It's not getting what it needs to grow and even survive. It would shrivel up, right? But also, the body would be hurt too. I mean, I'm not over here like, hey, I'm thriving, you know? No, I'm bleeding out. There's an open wound because of that detachment. See, we need each other. And when we leave, it doesn't just hurt the person who says, I don't need the church, I just need Jesus. It also hurts the church that God wants them in, because they should be one of these supporting ligaments that's helping the place grow. Paul wrote, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. You, if you are a believer, you're a Christ follower, you have gifts and talents and experiences and knowledge and wisdom from God that he's built into your life for the purpose of building up his kingdom, his body. We need you. We need you. Are you committed to the growth of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you using your gifts in a meaningful way? Spend some time in prayer for the rest of this weekend, maybe later on tonight. Spend some time in prayer and say, Lord, am I using everything you've blessed me with, all these gifts you've given me, for your glory, for the advance of your kingdom? Is there a place where I need to step up, where you're saying, oh man, you could do wonders in this group's life over here if you would join this small group and help lead, or you could join this team over here with your gifts of whatever your gifts are. I'm not going to list off everybody's gifts, all right, because I don't know them all. You know them. The Lord knows them. All right. Well, let's look at our third biblical reason for committing to Christ's body. We see Jesus is committed to us. We see it's necessary for growth. And then, similar to being necessary for growth, but we're going to go in a little different direction here, it builds character. Being committed to Christ's church, to Christ's body, builds character. One of the hardest things to deal with in a relationship, of course, is arguments. You know, you have disagreements and arguments. And that can, depending on how harsh they are and how we deal with them, we can find that we're at an impasse sometimes in relationships. I've been married to my wife. She gets mentioned a lot in this sermon now that I think about it. We're talking about being committed. That's a pretty natural comparison. I like talking about Jesus and Leah. Those are the two things I like talking about the most. I get to do them both today. Well, we've been married for over 18 years, and we started dating over 24 years ago. And so that's a long relationship, but we still continue to fight. I mean, we still continue to disagree with one another. But as time has gone on, truly, as time has gone on, those disagreements, those fights are much fewer and further between. You know, where when we first got married and we discovered, oh my goodness, are we different in so many ways, you know? And that first commitment started, there was a lot of, you know, butting heads and that kind of thing. And we were a lot younger and immature, not that we've arrived or perfectly godly wise now, but in my immaturity, I might think my way is always 100% right, and so I wasn't as gracious with my new bride back in the day. But as time has gone on, those disagreements are fewer and further between. And when we do have a disagreement, we usually get to the bottom of it and find a solution a lot quicker than ever before. And when we do, we're always stronger for it. We've grown, we've matured together because we're committed. If we weren't committed to one another, it might have been tempting to just go our own ways. But we're committed, we're thrown in together, and it can either be miserable the rest of our lives if we deal with anything and get past it, or we can work on it. We can work on this thing. And I've learned to let my ego go. Leah's grown her grace muscles with me to be gracious to me when my ego is flaring up and all of these things. And we've grown and we've become stronger. The Bible teaches that this is true in the context of church life with us too. It's not just for marriages. In Colossians 3:13, Paul writes, "We are to bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone." Now, we can't really do that if we're not committed to a local body. If it's easier for us to cut and run, like, this guy offended me and I don't want to keep going to church on Sunday with him sitting the next row over, and so I'm going to check out the place down the street. Or more likely, you know, the executive pastor filling in for the senior pastor said something on Sunday that offended me, and I don't want to go to this church anymore if he's not getting disciplined. I don't know, maybe that is the thing. And so we take off. If we do that, you're not bearing with me. You know, you're not forgiving me. But if I wrong you in some way and you point it out to me, I'm not saying let it go. I'm saying deal with it. Confront me. And if I humble myself and I say, "You're right, I'm sorry," and you forgive me and you show grace, I'm better off because of your commitment to this church rather than just going down the street. And you're better off because you've grown your grace muscles and your forgiving muscles. You've grown as a believer. And our church has grown because we've protected unity. You've protected unity by bearing with me. But it takes commitment to be able to do that. It takes commitment. We see the result here in Romans 5 where Paul writes, "Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character." Now, that can be applied in a lot of places. Of course, suffering can mean suffering persecution or suffering through financial difficulty or health issues. But suffering can also be having to wrestle with somebody over a disagreement or a hurt between you and them. And when you've suffered through it, you went through the difficult part of the confrontation and getting through it, and you persevere through it, it builds up the character of our church. And so maybe there's somebody on your mind today, somebody that's hurt you, you need to address something with that person. I encourage you to do that. Or maybe you're here today and you know you've let somebody down. You know you did. You know you need to ask their forgiveness. You need to ask God's forgiveness. Deal with the vertical first, but you need to ask their forgiveness so that you can get past it and preserve the peace. I encourage you to do that. It's all part of being a committed body. And finally, the last reason, biblical reason to be connected and committed to, committed, get your C words correct, Chris, committed to Christ's body, is that it's where we belong. It's where we belong, very simply. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:19, He's talking to Christians here. And he says, you are a member of God's very own family. And you belong in God's household with every other Christian. This reminds us that to be a Christian means you're a part of God's family. It reminds us that if you're a member of God's family, you're a child, you're a son or daughter of God, you belong in his household with your brothers and sisters, with every other Christian. And so a Christian that's out in the world just living for Christ by themselves, they could still be a Christian, of course, but they're like an orphan out on the street instead of at home. And God's desire is so much better for us. He says, you belong here. I saved you so that not just so you could be with me, which is first for sure, but so that you can be in my family with your brothers and sisters. You belong here. Now here at Stony, we express this commitment with our formal membership. And membership is where we go from being a friend and visitor that comes to Stony Creek Church. And we love you if you're visiting, you're a friend of Stony Creek Church, regular attendee. Membership is where you move from there to being a committed family member that is Stony Creek Church and that goes out into the world from Stony Creek Church. That's how we express this commitment here, is through membership. We see examples of crossing over from just attending church to really being counted with their number in Scripture. They kept count. There's a few examples in Acts chapter 2 and 4 and 5. We see that they made lists and kept records of who was at certain churches. Oh, this is how many or who is at this church in this place or that place. We see an example of that in 1 Timothy. We also see in Scripture that people had to be careful about committing to Christ's body, that it was really a big deal to commit. It wasn't just trusting in Jesus, but it was saying, I am throwing myself in with these people, and I'm committing myself. There was even people who faced judgment when they didn't take that commitment seriously. And so what we did at the first service, and I thought I wouldn't make them stick around for two services, we welcomed three new members in. I want to show a picture of them to you here. Oh, there they are. Yeah. Oh, and I got in there. That's too many Chris Bordeaux's. That's far too many. Oh, my goodness. Sorry, guys. Well, we did welcome in three new members, and I like to show them at both services who we welcomed in is because it's good to put names and faces together and see, you know, you see people around the church, and it's good. This is a time where you can get to know some people. And so I'd like to introduce you to some of our newest members. We have Guy Alexander, we have Maria Chestnut, and we have Bethany Landenberger. And they were all welcomed in this morning. And what I'd like to do is read you, since we're doing a sermon about church commitment, I'm going to read you this membership certificate, which just kind of outlines our commitment when we become members here at Stony. I did this 24 years ago, and these three did this today. They signed, I, in this case it's Maria Chestnut, endorse wholeheartedly and unreservedly the statement of beliefs of Stony Creek Church. I affirm my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ to nurture my relationship with him through consistent prayer, worship, and Bible study. She's saying I'm connected with Christian living. I commit myself to the mission and vision of Stony Creek Church and pledge my cooperation to the elders and to all those God has called into positions of leadership. And then finally, it reads, I commit my time, talents, and treasures to be used, or to God, to be used for his glory in the building up of this church and the advance of his kingdom in our community and the world. And these folks have plugged in. Guy is plugged in with our prayer team, and Maria and Bethany are plugged in with our youth ministry. Maria is one of very few people that my son Xander will hug outside of his household, so that's an interesting fact about her. Just shows you how warm and outgoing and friendly she is. Bethany's also on our cleaning team. And so if you've come in and enjoyed a clean bathroom, Bethany may be the person that cleaned that toilet for you, all right? And so you think, well, that's kind of inappropriate to talk about. No, it's very appropriate because nobody likes scrubbing a toilet, and this woman is a servant and does something humble to serve you. She's contributing to the body. And so they contribute with discipleship and prayer and service. These are three new good examples here at the church of people knowing where they belong in this committed body. Well, we're going to close our service here in just a moment. I invite you to stand with me for a closing song. But before we pray, we're going to pray and dedicate the offering. It just so happens, do you believe it, that we have our membership class starting in 2 weeks from now. Whoa, that is weird how that worked out. No, that is by design. That is by design. Let's teach about membership and let's offer an application. And so if you're here today and you would like to take your next step here at Stony, and I encourage you to register for our class. The membership class, it's called Exploring the Creek, and we're going to meet for 4 Sundays beginning March 6th. It's during our first service, so you'd be able to go to that class and then still come here. You know, you don't have to miss the Sunday services to attend the class, which is really cool. But the way you register for that is by going to my.stonycreek.church. If you're not a member, I encourage you to take the class, sign up. This, I really believe this is the next step in your discipleship process with the Lord. I hope to see you there. Let's pray now over our offering. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Lord Jesus who is committed to us. He committed his life to us on the cross. He surrendered it for our behalf. And he also committed his life, his risen life to us. We're saved through his death, how much more through his resurrection. He says in the Great Commission that surely he will be with us to the very end of the age, and he continues to work in his church through his leadership, through the Holy Spirit. God, I pray you would build this church, that we would truly be a church filled with people who are transformed and committed to following Jesus and committed to one another as fellow members of the same body. God, as we give you this offering, we pray that you would bless it, that you would use it to advance your kingdom. We give it, whether it was online this week or in that box there at the back of the auditorium, all of it is out of worship and thanksgiving to you. So use it for your glory, God, the building up of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.